We're broadcasting today from the studios at the University of Sioux Falls. I am joined in that studio now by Rick Tupper. He is a founding member of the Commemorative Air Force, known as the Joe Foss Squadron. Am I getting that right?
That's correct.
Thanks for joining us, Rick Tupper.
Yeah,
it's nice to see
you. Thanks for the invite.
Also with us in the studio is Patrick Hicks. He's writer in residence at Residence. I got it right the first time. At Augustana University, he's the author of more than 10 books, including The Collector of Names and The Commandant of Lubezech. Welcome back to Dakota Midday, Patrick.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Thanks.
I think we're going to adjust your microphone a little bit while we talk to Rick, because I don't think I can quite hear you. So here's what we're going to do. Let's talk about the Joe Foss Squadron first.
Sure.
And then we'll go on to the hangar dance and some of the other things. So tell me what the squadron is.
Yeah, excellent. The Commemorative Air Force was established in about the 1950s when a group of World War II veterans and people in the United States decided they wanted to maintain and restore World War II aircraft for all to see, and hopefully that we can keep that history alive. The Joe Foss Squadron was established in Sioux Falls about 4 years ago. We had realized that we didn't have that kind of educational piece in Sioux Falls, and we thought that it was important for us. So we started looking at creating the Commemorative Air Force Squadron, and really we looked at what were we going to call it. You know, was it going to be the South Dakota Squadron, the Sioux Falls Squadron? And then we realized we have that hometown hero, that hero of Joe Foss, a Marine, that won the Medal of Honor flying in World War II. So it was just a natural fit that we became the Joe Foss Squadron.
Tell me about the members. Who's drawn to participating in that?
You know, a little bit of everybody. We've got pilots. We've got non-pilots. We've got people that just have an interest in history. The Commemorative Air Force is focused on World War II aircraft, military aircraft. So, you know, we got people that their family members were World War II veterans, and they just want to have that feel. You know, yesterday I was standing next to the B-17 that's out here today, and a lady showed up, and her father was a B-17 pilot, and she just had to have that feel of this is what my dad flew in. And she brought all of his letters that he had wrote home in the war. She had those with them. She had a memory book, and she showed us. And so it was really an emotional moment for her to be able to have that connection with what her dad had done during World War II.
So what's the makeup? Is it mostly, does it span all age groups?
It does. Yeah, really it does. We've got young folks all the way up to older folks. So there's really men, women, there's no certain age group. It's if you have an interest in aviation and military aviation, it's a great tool.
I think we've got Patrick set up. Patrick Hicks, welcome again, and can we hear from your microphone?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Now I hear you. Let's go. Sorry about all the technical difficulties, but Rick, thanks for filling us in as we did some of those adjustings. Patrick, what's your interest in this?
I've always been interested in World War II. For me, is just such a cauldron of stories that the best of what we are capable of doing, and the very worst of what we are capable of doing as a species. So I'm really drawn to World War II as a writer and someone that cares deeply about narrative. That's hard for me to think of another period of time that's so rich in story. And embedded in that story is, of course, the war and the men who fought the war. And I've always been interested in aviation. Back when I was a kid in the 1970s, there was a very popular show called Baa Black Sheep, and I think that had a big influence on me, because it was about Pappy Boyington and flying around in his Corsair. And I've seen the show since then. It's kind of cheesy, but when you're a 7-year-old, it's just so riveting.
What is it about the aircraft itself, Rick, that...
You know, for me, it's the sights and the sounds. You know, when you really get a chance to look at, I've always had an interest in World War II history. So, watching the old war movies as I grew up, and then reading the history books, and you know, really what I've learned over time. And I was also involved with the Honor Flight program in South Dakota. And you know, right next door, we've got hometown heroes. It's just that little old man or little old lady that's slowing us down in the grocery line. You know, but when you look at their history. The history that we have right here is amazing. And so for me, what it really brings at home, that you can look at, what would it sound like to have 1,000 B-17s flying over your head if you were standing in the United Kingdom as they were all going off to a mission? And, that sight and that sound. So I'm kind of a touchy-feely person. I got to see it and feel it. And, that gives me the opportunity to really see and maybe learn something from it.
Do you go up in the planes at all?
I do. Yesterday, I got an opportunity to fly in the B-25.
All right. Tell me what that's like. What's that? You've flown in a commercial aircraft today. I've flown in a commercial aircraft. What's the difference?
Oh wow. There's no comparison at all. These machines are made for war. There's no creature comforts whatsoever. There's no climate control. And really, when you're in them, you're looking at it, and there's this thin sheet of metal that's between you and the outside world, and that's it. I mean, it's we were flying around yesterday north of Sioux Falls, and they had the side windows open just to get that airflow through. And I had the opportunity to climb to the back tail section of the B-25, and you get really a feel for, you know, I think we have to realize there's 18 to 19-year-olds that were fighting that war. Mm-hmm. And so they're sitting in the back of this plane while people are trying to shoot them, and you can't move. I mean, you're just there. You're sitting there, and, you know, you have this instinct that I want to dodge from things, but that really brought the war home. You know, you look at it and say, yeah, these young folks fought this war, and this is kind of what they were experiencing.
Some perspective there.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Patrick, you've flown as well.
I had the opportunity to go up in the B-17, which is currently at the Sioux Falls Airport. It's called Sentimental Journey, and I got a chance to go up and sit in the bombardier's chair, which is right at the front of the airplane. And it is really incredibly powerful to sit in that chair where it's plexiglass, and it gave me a real sense of how terrifying that must have been at 30,000 feet to have a thin sheet of plexiglass while Nazi fighters are strafing you, and again, that sense of helplessness, and you can see the flak opening up. And then you turn your head to the left or the right, and there are these four massive roaring engines that make a noise that is so loud. It's a deafening and shuddering environment.
Let's transition to something a little more joyful and talk about the Hangar Dance.
Yes.
So what are you celebrating, and how?
You know, the big fundraiser for the Commemorative Air Force every year is our Hangar Dance. And yeah, I'm an aviation guy, so I had no idea what swing dancing even was. So the first year that we did this, we put on a hangar dance, and I thought, you know, everybody's going to come out and want to look at the airplanes. And it was really all of a sudden all these people started showing up that had no interest even looking at the airplanes. Mm-hmm. They wanted to swing dance. They wanted to hear the 1940s live band. There were people that came out dressed in 1940s attire. It was awesome. It was super fun to watch.
Old people, young people, like who?
Both. We had college students from Iowa that drove over for it. They just wanted to get dressed in 1940s attire and swing dance.
What's the appeal, Patrick, about that time frame? I'm gonna pluck your historical brain now and say, why would people be so drawn to the music and the fashion?
I think that the music is still a part of us. I mean, I really defy anyone to listen to anything by Glenn Miller and not tap your toe to it. It's music that really makes you want to get up and move, and it's really joyful. And I think that's one reason that the music has endured. It's joyful music at a time when the world was not very joyful at all. And it is really a wonderful experience to be at this hangar dance, because we have the planes pulled into the hangar, the people are swinging around them dressed up as if it's the 1940s. As we speak, my wife is shopping for 1940s jewelry and clothes, because she's going to go and dance the night away in 1940s gear. It's just a great celebration and fun.
Rick, maybe you said this in the beginning when I was adjusting the mic, but how long has the squadron been active?
This will be our fourth year.
Fourth year.
Yes.
So what have you learned about, you were there in the beginning, mm-hmm. 4 years later, what have you learned that you didn't know in the beginning?
Well, you know, again, when I get to the history part, how many people out there do have a connection with World War II, whether it was a grandpa, you know, some kind of connection, and what they want to know and what they want to learn about it. And, you know, really we look back at what kids are learning in high school today, and they don't learn a lot about World War II right now.
Is that true?
Yeah, so it's really...
Some high school history teacher is going to call me and tell me whether that's true or not. So if you teach high school history, send an email to midday@sdpb.org and tell me whether you teach World War II and to what extent.
I think to what extent is the important part is there's so much history there that people just aren't learning about, or we're kind of forgetting it. And you know, the one thing that we want to make sure is that it's not forgotten. And, you know, we still have some of these veterans that are alive today. You know, I talked to one yesterday. He's 96 years old, and he's not going to come out to the hangar dance because he wants to be a part of it. And, you know, but we lose that history so fast. So while we have the opportunity to talk with them and have them be a part of it, I think it's important.
What does that mean to you to see a 96-year-old come out to your hangar dance, look at those planes?
You know, when you see the veterans show up, you can just see the twinkle in their eye.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, it was a very difficult time for them.
Yeah.
But they remember the positive things. You know, when I talk to them, they're not talking about the bad things. for the most part. They remember the positive things and the things that they obviously want to keep remembering. So you get that little twinkle in their eye, and it's the sights, the sounds, the smells. They'll tell you that, you know, they walk up to the plane and they can smell that engine fuel, and right away it brings back memories. And you can just see them stop in their tracks, and you can see that they're in their mind, they've got a memory right now, and they're going over it, and it's bringing back other memories. And so it's really fun to watch.
It's like time travel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For all the bad things, you were young then. Yeah. That was your youth. That was mm-hmm. your 18, 19. Those were your formative years. Mm-hmm. And even if there were horrible things happening, you also remember.
Yeah, I think we have to remember that. I'm a veteran as well. And, you know, when we send troops overseas today, it's so much different. You know, mm-hmm. when I talk to a veteran from World War II, I'll talk to him and they said, you know, I left in 1942 and I returned home in 1945 at the end of the war. I didn't get to come home in between. I didn't talk to my family. The information I got was by V-mail, which was 2 to 3 months old. Mm. So it wasn't I got to go home on leave and come back, or I get to Skype my family from the war zone, you know, like we can now. It was just a different time. You know, they left for 2 to 3 years and had no contact with their families. And then they came home and it was like, thank you for your service. Go back to your life.
Mm. What was it like for you, correspondence-wise, when you were in the service?
Yeah, you know, it's...
You still didn't have cell phones and...
I was recalled after September 11th, and cell phone service still wasn't mm-hmm. very good, mm-hmm. so especially overseas, you know, so it was... you didn't have that kind of contact. But, I mean, you still could pick up a phone, mm-hmm. and, you know, I look at...
These little phone cards back in the day.
Yeah, phone cards. Oh, my gosh. I remember the phone cards, and that's what, you know, my family would send me in the mail, phone cards, so that I could use them.
Yeah.
But I think back, you know, back then when, you know, they didn't have a way to do all that, right. So...
That's where the letters come in.
Yes. They were so important to everybody.
Patrick, any last thoughts on sort of the philosophy of putting this all together and inviting people to come in and experience it, and what does that really mean for a city to sort of have that opportunity to walk in and honor this, who we were years ago?
I really appreciate the word opportunity, because it is a wonderful opportunity to see these flying museums, essentially, or what the B-17 is and the B-25. These are moments of American history that we need to know more about. And then at the Hangar Dance, it's an opportunity to not only see the planes, but to enjoy some music and to have some wine or some beer, and maybe bump into a veteran, mm-hmm. and maybe listen, you know. And it's I said it's like a moment of time travel, but it really is. It's like you're walking into a different kind of space where you get the smell and the sound of what it might have been like, and you can kind of let your mind go someplace else for a couple hours.
Let's end with the details of the Hangar Dance, 7 to 11 p.m. on Thursday. Is that correct?
Correct. Yep, tomorrow.
It's a kickoff for the Sioux Falls Air Show, which runs Saturday and Sunday. We'll put information up for you online. Patrick Hicks is a writer in residence at Augustana University. Thanks for being here, Patrick.
My pleasure.
Rick Tupper, founding member of the Commemorative Air Force, Joe Foss Squadron. Thanks for being here as well, Rick.
Thanks.